V. Brocote. Peace and blessings to everyone who will be joining us today. We are now entering our second parsha for the new Hebrew year, 5781, entitled Noach. We welcome all of our regular listeners to continue on our insightful journey through the Torah, as well as those who will be joining us for the very first time. May our Abba Yahweh bless all who read and listen. I do like to make you aware each week, we do use the Orthodox Jewish Bible for our scripture references. If we do use another translation, then we will notate that for you so you will be aware. Also, so you will know, in our Parsha each week, when we quote the scripture references from the OJB, I do include at times definitions and commentary because it helps add clarity and emphasis while we read, especially since the OJB does include numerous Hebrew wording and phrases. However, if you read from the OJB on your own, you won't see these. I just want you to be aware. My name is Joe Snipes, Yosef, from Gates to Zion Ministries. Again, welcome, and let's go ahead and get started. As we open our Torah study, we are at once taken to realize that the setting of this parsha is very practical in regard to the day and time in which we live. The condition of mankind on earth, both then and now, has deteriorated rapidly. There is only one hope if mankind is to survive at all. Yahweh must respond with judgment. The cancerous infection of sin must be cut off by a radical and widespread surgical application of Yahweh's righteousness. Judgment is what happens when Yahweh's righteousness has been rejected. The one lesson we are called upon to learn from Torah is there are consequences for our actions. Are we, in our present time, not facing much of the same spirit as the world of Noach's day? Remember the words of our blessed Master Yeshua. And we're quoting from Matityahu, Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 38. For as in the days of Noah, thus will be the Biat HaMashiach, coming of the Mashiach, the coming of Ben Hadam, the Son of Man. For as they were in those days before Hamabul, the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the Teba, the ark. In other words, the spirit of the world just prior to that of Adon Lord Yeshua's second coming will be the same as it was in the days of Noah. Now, what we find in our Torah portion should be a word of comfort. Many people believe that the Torah is strictly law-oriented and that there is no grace to be found within it. Yet, here we find just the opposite. Amid the gathering storm clouds of Yahweh's judgment, we find this wonderful verse at the end of last week's Torah portion. We're quoting from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. But Noah, found the hen grace unmerited favor in the eyes of Hashem, Yahweh. The word favor, as used here in the Hebrew, is chen. It means graciousness, kindness, and favor. While it is true that grace is most typically understood as free, unmerited favor, we find something deeper here in Noach. The verb preceding favor in this verse is found. It is in the causative sense. In other words, there was something that Noach was doing that caused Yahweh to look upon him. Out of all those who were living on the earth at this time, a terrible time of impending judgment, Noach was the one who found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. What was it that caused Noach to be so blessed? Torah obedience catches the eyes of Yahweh. There are a few things that we do not realize about Noach without doing a little investigating. First, do you know who the contemporaries of Noach's Abba, Lamech, were? Well, Lamech was only 56 years old when Adam died. That's right. There is a good chance that he knew and spoke with Yahweh's first created man. He was 111 years old when Enoch was taken up by Yahweh into the Shemayim, into the heavens. And he was 168 years old when Seth died, Adam and Chava's Eve's son, who was born after Havel Abel's murder? Second, what do you suppose Lamech spoke of with these men? Well, for one thing, they most likely discussed the Torah. Wait a minute. I didn't think the Torah came until Moshe's or Moses' time. Moshe was given the written Torah, the Torah Shebiktav. However, the Torah is itself eternal, citing Tehillim, Psalms 119, verse 52, verse 89, also 152 and 160. Before the time of Moshe, the Torah most likely existed in oral form, Torah Shebaal Peh. As such, it was passed down from generation to generation as a continuous revelation by word of mouth. All of the Torah, as Moshe was given it through Yahweh in his day, may not have been existent in Noah's day. However, we do know that there were Torah principles being made available. How? Well, listen to this. We're quoting from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 7, verse 2. Of every behemah haTorah, the clean animals, thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his mate, and of behemah animals that are not tehorah, clean, by two, the male and his mate. Yahweh instructed Moshe to take in the clean animal. He brought to him by sevens. The unclean were to be brought into the ark by two. Now the differentiation between clean and unclean is a hallmark of Torah. It is through Torah that we obtain the knowledge of what Yahweh deems as clean and unclean, holy and profane. Where did Noah get this understanding? That's right. More than likely from his Abba, Lamech, who got his knowledge from Sheth or Seth, Chonoch or Enoch, and Adam. Now, upon further examination, we find this said of Noah. We're quoting again from Bereshit, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. These are the toldot, the generations of Noah. Noah was an Ish Zadik, a righteous man, and Tamim, blameless, among those of his time. And Noah's halacha, his way or walk, was with HaElohim, the Mighty One. So we find here that Noah was righteous and blameless. These words are adjectives that describe the moral stature of the man, Noah. How did he attain this place? We are told, Noah walked with Elohim, the Mighty One. The Hebrew word for walked is halach. Those who walk in obedience to Torah are spoken of as walking in the way. Noah was practicing the halakot, the plural of halak, or the way of Torah as it was being revealed in his day. In a world that had lost its moral compass because it had rejected the righteous ways of Yahweh, here, Torah presents us with the man, Noah. In turn, he was found walking out of step with the iniquity or the Torahlessness of the world in which he lived. He was walking in the ways of Yahweh. It was his perseverance to keep the ways of Yahweh that caught the eye of the Mighty One. The whole of mankind may have turned their back on its Creator, but here is a man determined to walk out his trusting faithfulness taught to him by his Abba. Yahweh took note of Noah then, and he will take note of us today who seek to walk out the way of his Torah by the power of his Haruach HaKodesh, the spirit of his holiness. Noah had faith and reverence for Yahweh's preceding word from the heavens. We're quoting here from Hebrews, Ivrim 11, verse 7, and we read, by emunah, trusting faithfulness, Noah, having been warned about the things not yet visible to the eye of flesh, and being an ish of Yirat Shemaim, a man of reverential fear of the heavens, built the teva, the ark, for the gula, the redemption, of the Beit HaNoach, the house of Noah. By his emunah, his trusting faithfulness, he condemned the Olam Hazeh, this present world, and he became the Yoresh, the heir of the Zedek Hashem, the righteousness of Yahweh, that is credited to emunah, trusting faithfulness. Beloved, notice the first two words in the above verse, trusting faithfulness. I use these two words rather than simply faith, because the latter is sometimes misunderstood. Faith many times is taken as a static one-time event, whereas the true Hebraic idea of faith, or emunah in Hebrew, is that it is an act that is to be continuously exercised by one who believes. The source of trusting faithfulness is to be found in studying the Torah. In other words, we must be familiar with what Yahweh has said. This will prepare us to hear what Yahweh is saying to our hearts in the present. Noach, a man of Torah, was found walking in the ways of Yahweh. He heard the oral Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh, from the others of his day who spoke it and walked it out. It was this obedience to what Yahweh had spoken as the Torah that prepared Noah to be able to hear what he was saying, present tense, in his heart. Our blessed Rebbe Yeshua taught us, we do not live by bread alone, what Yahweh has said. We live by what he is saying, citing Matityahu, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Noach's trusting faithfulness in Yahweh's word, spoken through the oral Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh, already given to his elders, is what conditioned his spirit to hear the fresh preceding word of warning to him of Yahweh's impending judgment. This judgment could not be seen or even noticed by the world of Noach's day. Everything seemed just fine. Even the words of our Rebbe Yeshua give this idea. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Suddenly, in the midst of all of this normal everyday activity, Noach started building something no one had ever heard of, an ark. What is an ark? For what? Rain? What's that? The world at that time had never seen rain. However, Noach was moved by trusting faithfulness, not by what could or could not be seen. Listen clearly what the rest of the verse says, and again we're quoting Bereshit, Genesis chapter 11, latter part of verse 7. And Ish of Yirat Shemaim, a man of reverential fear of the heavens, built the Teba, the ark. Because Noach was a man who walked in the ways of Torah, he in turn was a man who had submitted himself to Yahweh's governmental authority. He was a man who walked in the reverential fear, the awe of the Shemayim of the heavens, the seat or throne of Yahweh's kingdom. In the Hebraic understanding, when one makes it his choice to yield himself to the Torah, he is said to be taking upon himself the yoke of heaven. If the words we are hearing in our spirit are truly to be the words of Yahweh, then we must be yielded to his kingdom that is from the Shemayim from the heavens. This is how Noach knew to respond to the word of Yahweh when it came to his heart. There are many today that say, Yahweh told me this, or I heard the Spirit say that. However, in order to truly hear a present tense preceding word from Yahweh by his Haruch HaKodesh, the Spirit of his Holiness, you must first have yielded yourself to the kingdom of Yahweh that is above in the Shemayim in the heavens. How do you do that? By taking up the yoke of heaven and embracing the Torah. One of the true tests as to whether you are truly taking up the yoke of heaven is in your finding your place within a Torah-based community of believers. The practical reality of living under the authority of the kingdom of the heavens is learning to deal with the blessing and challenges of living in relation to others. It's actually the latter that really test our mettle. This may be why Brother Judah only encourages study of the Torah in a minimum of two people. The study of the Torah prepares your spirit to hear. Doing the Torah as Yahweh's Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness leads, shows that you have left off doing your own ways and are walking in His ways. This is why men in Jewish Israel wear a kippah or a yarmulke, as it may be known. It is a testimony that they acknowledge they are living under Yahweh's authority. Reverencing the heavens means taking up Yahweh's Torah to hear and do what he has said. Knowing what Abba Yahweh has said is the prerequisite to hearing and knowing the word that is coming to your spirit as his present tense word. Abba Yahweh never speaks a word out of character with his written Torah. Familiarity with the written Torah by study and action produces an atmosphere within the human spirit and soul that is conducive to the resonation of the present tense voice of Yahweh through his Haruach HaKodesh, the spirit of his holiness. Noach had no written Torah in his day. He only had the oral Torah taught to him by his Abba as a continuous revelation. Lamech was faithful to that Torah, and he taught it to his son. In turn, because Noach reverenced the Shemayim, the heavens, by taking up Torah, the word Yahweh had spoken, he was ready to reverence the preceding word when he heard it speaking to him. As a result, a way of deliverance was provided for he and his family. If Noach needed that preceding word in his day, how much more do we need the same in our own? We are that generation that is living in the day of Noah. The days of Noah are a time fast approaching imminent judgment. So these days, leading up to the appearing of our blessed Master Yeshua's second coming, will also be days of impending judgment. Torah obedience condemns the world around us. Beloved, listen very closely to me. In this day of restoration of the whole house of Israel, many of us have been given mercy to understand our need for the Torah of Yahweh. Why is Moshe and his Torah being returned to us? Because the whole house of Israel is about to experience another deliverance. It is amazing to me how those around us react so negatively to our embracing the ways of Yahweh and his Torah. We are accused of trying to put people back under the law. It is made to seem we are being unfaithful to our Savior to study and obey the clear truth of the loving instructions of our heavenly Abba, citing the true meaning of Torah, not law. Why is the reaction so harsh? It is because Torah is the conscience of Yahweh. What is the work of the conscience? It convicts of what is right and wrong. Torah is the target of Yahweh's will. Sin is simply missing the target. Citing the root word of Torah is yara. It has to do with archery. It means to throw or shoot an arrow. Torah helps identify what sin is. The problem is when sin is revealed, if the heart is unprepared, then it's like turning the light on in a dark room. Has that ever happened to you? The reaction usually isn't so pleasant. Even so, our faithfully studying and obeying the Torah has the same reaction of those around us who do not see the Torah in its true light as Yahweh's loving instruction. Look at what it says happened to the world around Noah. The faithful obedience with which he responded to Yahweh's word to his heart brought salvation, deliverance to him and his family. What about the world that was watching him? To them, it brought condemnation. Listen, Noah didn't just build the ark. No, we are told that he preached righteousness to those who stood by, citing Kepha Beit, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. What was it that he preached? The only thing he knew, the Torah given to him by his father. He tried to show those around him there were consequences for the lifestyle they were living. If you live according to Yahweh's commandments, his loving instructions, then there will be blessing. If you don't, then there will be judgment. The world of Noah's day had rejected the ways of Yahweh. The earth was filled with immorality and violence. Noah called with a deep heart of love to the world of his generation to repent and return to the ways of Yahweh, his Torah. What was their response? His words apparently fell on deaf ears. By today's standards, Noah was a failure as a preacher. Only 8 people responded to his message. However, the response of those who hear the word is not the responsibility of the preacher. The weight rests on the preacher to simply bring what Yahweh has faithfully put on his heart. In that sense, Noah was a success. Return and rebuild. Those of us who have had our hearts enlightened to the need to embrace the Torah of Yahweh have work to do. Noah had to prepare the ark for that fateful day when Yahweh would call him and his family to enter it. No more grace, no more looking the other way. For Noah and his family, it was a time of joy. Their place of safe habitation had been prepared. The name Noah in Hebrew means rest. We too have a place that has been prepared for us. Our place of rest is in the bosom of our blessed Mashiach Yeshua. He is our ark. There are so many similarities to the ark of Noah and of our blessed master Adon Lord Yeshua. What does an ark do? It transports. Even so, our Mashiach, our ark of safety, will transport us in the day of trouble. He, by his Haruach HaKodesh, the spirit of his holiness, will transport us through the waters of tribulation to the safety of his coming Malkut HaShemayim, kingdom of the heavens, the millennial kingdom on earth. Yahweh's means of deliverance is not up in some supposed secret rapture. No, it is through, in Mashiach, for those who keep his Torah. While our redemption is complete in Mashiach Yeshua, we still have work to do in the present, citing Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Sin has taken its toll on us. Our obedience to follow Yahweh's commandments, his loving instructions, citing from both sides of the book, will help restore to our lives what sin has taken away. The Torahlessness of our former days has left the hedge of Yahweh's protection around us broken down and penetrable. Can you hear what Yahweh, by his Haruach HaKodesh, the spirit of his holiness, is saying? Return and rebuild the walls of your deliverance in your heart. Now is the time before the storm comes in its fury. Return to Torah and Shema. Hear and obey. Just as surely as I shut Noah in and he and his family escaped the terrible day of Yahweh's judgment, even so, if you rebuild the hedge of Torah around you, I will deliver you too. This, I believe, is the wisdom of Shlomo of Solomon in Kohelet Ecclesiastes when he warns, and we're quoting from Kohelet Ecclesiastes chapter 10, the first part of verse 8. And whoso breaketh through a wall, a nachash, a serpent, shall bite him. It is further echoed by King David, who after his sin with Bathsheba, and being restored again by trusting faithfulness to Yahweh, cried out. We're quoting from Tehillim, Psalms chapter 51 and verse 18. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the chomot, the walls of Jerusalem. David knew that his sin had brought trouble upon Jerusalem. The physical walls of the city were not broken down at this time, but they were in spirit in his heart. There are such severe repercussions in our lives when we open the way for sin to break down the wall of protection Abba Yahweh has placed around our hearts through his Torah. The word build used here in the above verse in Hebrew is bana. It has the sense of something being done over, or more clearly, to rebuild. You see, because of the blood of our blessed Adon Lord Yeshua, the Torah no longer works to condemn us, citing Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Our sins have not only been covered, they have been taken away, citing Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 14. This is the work that only the sinless, pure blood of Yahweh Seh Elohim, Lamb of the Mighty One, is capable of, citing Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. The blood of the animal korbanot under the second renewal, citing Shemot, Exodus chapter 33 through 34, of Yahweh's original covenant at Mount Sinai, citing Shemot, Exodus chapter 20, could not. That blood was an atonement. It was a covering, so that any Israelite could harob, draw near to Yahweh's Shekinah, his manifest presence at the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and later at the Hakal, the temple, and live. Now, through the final renewal of Yahweh's promised covenant, citing Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 through 34, has been ratified by the blood of our blessed Adon Lord Yeshua's redemptive work. We may exercise all the positive promises of Yahweh and learn how to rebuild our lives according to Abba Yahweh's loving instruction. The Torah now works in conjunction with the unlimited redemptive ability of Yahweh's final renewed covenant to bring all things to their full, final, and perfect end, citing Kepha Aleph, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. Through Mashiach Yeshua, we learn to stay within the parameters of His holiness. We learn to discern the realms of life and death and how to experience Yahweh's life on every level of our being. We discern between the clean and the unclean. We build upon the rock. In turn, we rebuild the wall or a hedge of Torah protection around us and our families. Back in the Bible days, when the shepherds would settle their flocks for the evening, they would gather up stones and bramble bushes to cordon off the area around the sleeping flock. The bramble bushes had sharp thistles. Snakes could not penetrate the hedge because of these sharp thistles. The soft underbelly of the snake could not take the pain caused by them. The wolves would not try to press into the hedge because they would either get entangled in the bushes or the shepherd who was lying on the ground between the stones and the bushes like a gate would be awakened. He would then use his staff and rod to injure or kill them. The sheep were safe for so long as they remained within that hedge. This is a picture of what Yahweh wants us to see in this Torah portion about the faithfulness of Noach. Our Adon Lord Yeshua has warned us that the days of tribulation are coming. We are no longer being lulled to a false sense of security, believing we are going to be whisked away in some secret rapture. No. Instead, we are being shown Yahweh's way of true Torah deliverance. It is not out, but through. In His great mercy, Abba Yahweh has allowed us time to see His Torah and return to the ancient paths of His ways, citing Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Now is the time to teshuv, to fully return to Him in our heart. First, to teshuvah, return corporately, to be repatriated to our true Hebraic identity as the returning house of Yosef, Ephraim, Israel, and to begin to make our return from our galut, our exile, being scattered in existence among the nations. We must be ready to become one nation again of the whole house of Israel with the house of our elder brother, Yehuda, Judah. This will bring us to the final phase of our redemption, our return to the land of Israel. There is no other safe zone for us. Meanwhile, we must continue the personal process of rebuilding the walls of our deliverance with the lessons He is teaching us from His Torah. Those with ears to hear, let them hear. Amen. We say the following blessing as we continue each week's study of the Torah. Kazach u Baruch, strength and blessing.